stumble, but she ain't never faith. If our enemies don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We go to put our feet back on the paths of righteousness and live. God bless America again.
And that's right. God bless America. My name is Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We are located on the internet at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. That's www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. We're on satellite AMC3, transponder 7, Digicipher 2 audio. If you have a 4D TV satellite receiver, we're on virtual channel W3957. We're also on channel 47 on Trust Cable in Alabama. Thanks to all of those folks. And if you're listening on the podcast or wherever else you can pick us up, welcome. This is the Dan Pretzer Show. Tonight, you know, we've talked so much about the missing. I've got a story for you tonight that's just unbelievable. A guy by the name of Brett Weed. He's the father of Tiana and Dakota. His children were abducted and taken to a foreign land, in this case Japan. And he can't get his kids back. We've talked about the missing. We've talked about those that have been taken, can't be found. But here's a dad who knows where his kids are, but they're in a foreign land. After that, a patriot, a fellow by the name of Michael Payne. He's a former Air Force veteran of the Vietnam War. He's a broadcaster. He's a reporter who just came back from being embedded with the troops in Iraq. And he's taking on Arlen Specter. And he tells Arlen Specter, just what do you think Commander-in-Chief means? Arlen Specter is trying to tell that the President can't send more troops to Iraq. Michael Payne is going to tell us exactly what's going on in Iraq and talk about his experiences there. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In the very good future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. But we got it, you're a fool, you're walking too proud, and we're talking too loud again. You're in America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. I do apologize and ask that you that have looked at the Scared Monkeys website, my guest name is Brett Weed, not Brent Weed. And Brett has a fascinating story to tell. Like I said in the introduction, we've all heard of stories, and I've covered them on my show now for many years, and in my line of work investigated them. Where parents have missing children and can't find them. We've talked to parents who have missing children and who have found them, but they've been killed. We have parents that are looking for answers, but they're just not able to get them, and we try to help the best way we can. Brett Weed is the father of abducted Tiana and Dakota Weed. The difference in this story is, and I want to get you to go to a website right now that tells more about it. It's www.crmonkeys.com CRN Japan. That's www.crnjapan.com/people/BWD/EN. And you'll hear more and read more about Brett Weed and his fight to get his children's back. And this is the Japan Children's Rights Network. Brett Weed, welcome to the Dana Pritzer Show.
Thank you, Dana. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
No, and this is amazing. You know, what I've read and what I've researched into this, it just makes your heart sick to hear your story. And I think the best way that we can do this interview tonight is to get you to tell this story. And it's very important. And in fact, there's a message from you to your children on this website too. That's really important. We'll talk about that in a bit. So how did this all happen? In September 1989, you met a lady, Kyoko Oda, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's correct. Yes, I met her back in the Midwest, where she was studying English as a secondary language. And then by January 1991, we had got married and resided back there in the Midwest. Then in 1997, we moved out to Oregon, out in the West Coast. And she became pregnant and was pregnant during the move out here. And our son was born November 11th, 1997. He's now age 9.
Mm-hmm.
And later, my daughter was born March 18th, 2001. She's now age 5. And our relationship started spiraling downhill, and like the way she was raising my children. And
mm-hmm.
She had some other issues. We had some other issues, and thought that she was setting some bad examples for my children.
Right.
And she was spending about 3 to 6 months a year in Japan.
Right.
She returned to the States, and I finally decided it was in the best interest for everybody if I filed for divorce and at least was able to raise my kids in an environment part-time that set a good example for my kids.
Sure.
In the course of going through the divorce, she decided she wanted to return to Japan with my children to live.
Right.
This of course, came as a big shock to me. I was hoping that, you know, I would have regular visitation with them, et cetera, or custody, better yet.
Had there been a court order that had been issued, or was this strictly just between the two of yourselves?
Well, like I said, I filed for divorce, and they decided to do a custody study because she was wanting to move to Japan with the children.
Right.
And so the Multnomah County Family Services did a custody study and determined that it was best for the children if she moved back to Japan to have the support of her family, and was totally unaware of any consequences that would come from that.
Sure.
And so we went, and the divorce was finalized at the end of 2003,
mm-hmm.
In December. And on January 16th, 2004, she got on a plane with her mother-in-law and the two children, and that's the last time I've heard or seen from my kids.
Now, for those of you that are listening and want to follow along or want to, again, take a look at the website, there's a timeline here of everything that we're talking about. So, again, you last saw your children when?
Well, it was actually on January 15th.
Okay.
The day before she left. She left on January 16th, 2004.
Okay.
And the court order granted me visitation. They were supposed to come here 2 times a year. I was going to be able to go to Japan 1 time a year to see them. And pretty much unlimited contact by email, phone, webcam, et cetera. But when she got over there, she completely severed all ties. I haven't talked to her. I don't really know where she's at. And then I went back to court to try to get some enforcement measures. And in April of 2004,
right.
they cut her spousal support. I wrote her a letter, tried to get a letter through to some of her family members that I would continue to pay that if, you know, she would start coming around so I could have some contact with the kids.
Sure.
And she didn't. There's no result. So we spent almost a year trying to get attempts on her to bring her back to court again. And we played games with the government over there. There's a Hague Convention on service.
Sure.
For service matters. In court that we have to follow, and we followed all of those. We tried to serve her twice. We finally gave up and served by alternate means. And then in July 21st, 2005, the court granted me full physical legal custody of the children. And we've been fighting ever since to try to get the children back.
My first question would be to you, Brett, is how has the American government helped you with this? You have legal custody. You have custody that has been ordered to you by a court, a competent court of jurisdiction. There are all sorts of different agreements that go on between countries, and you as a taxpaying citizen of the United States of America should be given assistance by the government of the United States of America. It's just that simple. Have they helped you?
Well, the main problem here is Japan is not a signatory of the Hague Convention on the Civil Aspects of International Child Abduction. And any country that is not a participant in that, if your children go to that country, it's extremely difficult to legally get them back, short of re-abducting them. There's no cooperation between the countries. The U.S. Custody order is in effect, null and void in Japan. It doesn't exist. They don't recognize that custody order.
But there has to be some sort of a flight investigation that has gone on, no different than any other kidnapping case where someone takes someone and takes them to another country. The international laws aside or signatories should be maybe looked at or set aside when it comes to a law being broken. Are you saying then that the United States government hasn't helped you or haven't been able to help you?
They're basically unable to help me because Japan's not a signatory to this. About all that they've been able to do is try to do a welfare and whereabouts check through the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo. And she basically refused. They did get a hold of her somehow, and she refused to cooperate, and there's nothing more they can do.
Have you gone to Japan to look for your children?
No, I've been advised that we can get in trouble in a hurry over there because I have no legal means to stand by to get those to get the children back. Japan doesn't recognize the foreign custody orders. Joint custody is illegal in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Parental abduction is not a crime in Japan.
Jeez.
They have not returned a single child that has been abducted. The estimates are there's over 100 children every year that are abducted to Japan, and there's not a single child has been returned.
Yeah, your story is one story, and again, the webpage, www.crnjapan.com, Brett's particular page, people/people/BWD/EN, but if you go to crnjapan.com, you'll see it's the Japan Children's Rights Network, and I like the heading, Every Child Has Two Parents, and that is so true. Again, these numbers are mind-boggling. How many kids again?
There's over 100. From the United States alone, it's estimated there's more than 125 children each year abducted to Japan.
We don't hear about this in the mainstream media, or at least maybe I've been under a rock and haven't heard about it. But have you been contacted by any of the mainstream media to follow up on this story? Because it is so important.
No, I haven't. I'm just kind of getting started. I've kind of finished the court, the legal part of this, and just starting to bring my story up to the public. This is my first radio interview, as a matter of fact.
Well, hopefully we can get some help for you. Have you contacted, and I know you said if you went there you could get in trouble, but have you contacted any legal authorities, private investigators, police in Japan to see if they'd be able to help you?
The police won't get involved in family matters. They refuse to get involved. There's no grounds for them to work off of. Family law in Japan is way behind the times for this type of thing. That's why they're not signing the Hague Convention, because they'd have to revamp all of their family laws over there. The other thing that I've learned about Japan, they are discriminating against foreigners over there. Mm-hmm. So if I went over there as a foreigner, I'm pretty much guaranteed to lose. I don't know of any cases of a foreigner that has gone over there into the courts and won.
You have a message to your children on this website here. Are you in front of your computer? I'd like to get you to read it. If not, I can for you.
Sure, I can read that. Your dad misses you and loves you both very much. You have family and friends that also love you and miss you very much. I'm putting this information on a website so you know the truth about why you cannot see your father. Please contact me through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-703-274-3900. You can trust these people. If you do a Google search for your names at www.google.com, you can see that so many people are looking for you also. If you do a Google search for Dakota and Tiana, there's about three pages of websites coming up that are people looking for them.
What can we do in the media to help, and what kind of education can we pass on to those that are out there listening right now to help? Because, again, this is a story that I'd never heard of before.
There's another website I'd like to mention at this time.
Sure.
It's very similar, but it's not affiliated with the CRN Japan.com website. It's www.crcjapan.com. Mm-hmm. And these are both really good websites for reference information on this problem. We'd like to engage the media to educate the public. In my case, the courts, family court services, the attorneys, nobody knows about this problem.
Right.
And it needs to be brought to the public's attention, so that it doesn't happen to other people. And we're hoping that if enough people can't return to Japan with their children, that the government of Japan is going to step up and start resolving the problem.
Absolutely.
Also, there's been a couple of protests. There was one in L.A. back this summer, and we've had one in Washington, D.C. If you go to the I may not pronounce this right, but it's the Megumi Yokata story. It's on the front page of the CRN Japan website. It shows all the protests that we've had. There's also another one coming up this weekend in Portland, Oregon, at the Hollywood Theater this Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th, from 1 to 5 p.m.
I know we've talked about the police and we've talked about you going to Japan, but have you considered speaking to a private investigator? There are a lot of very professional private investigators in the United States and probably in Japan. You may even find an American private investigator over there that could somehow get a message to you or from you to your children.
Other people have tried to get messages through to their children, and afterwards they wish they hadn't done that, because what happens is the kids turn the message over to
the parents,
the mom. They're pretty much brainwashed by this time as to what's going on. Who knows what they've been told?
Right.
And it usually backfires. And with a private investigator, they might be able to find the residents, but after that, there's nothing you can do to recover the children.
It must be so frustrating for you. Like I said in my intro, you know, I interview parents all the time that can't find their children or have no idea where their child is, or their daughter or their son. But you know where your children are, at least you have an idea where your children are. it's got to be frustrating and it's got to drive you mad because, damn it, they're your kids, that it's so difficult for you to do anything about it.
That's correct. That's correct. One thing I'd like to ask the public to do is to start writing Congress, write your representatives, your senators, the president. There's some, all the addresses are on the CRN Japan website, and request that they start passing some legislation to do something. The Megumi Yukata story is about a girl that was abducted by North Korea about 13, I believe it was about 13 years ago. And I'm sorry, there's 13 abductions to North Korea of Japanese citizens. The U.S. government has done more to help those abducted citizens from Japan to North Korea than they have done to help the U.S. citizens abducted by Japan.
Well, that's a shame. That's just an absolute flippin' shame, and somebody needs to be accountable for that. Brett Weed, your kids, Tiana and Dakota, I hope and pray that you'll be able to find them and be reunited with them soon. Again, give a plug for those websites.
Yes. The first one is www.crnjapan.com, and the other one is www.crcjapan.com.
We wish you all the best. Our 20 minutes are up. They go by very fast. I'd like to stay in contact with you and keep my audience updated about your case, and you and I will stay in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Some kids born with a silver spoon. I guess that I was born a little too soon. Hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. But I'm telling you, I said you better be right, because I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
Some kids born rich as a king. But I was born without a doggone thing. But hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better be right, because I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I walked a million miles, I bet. Tired and hungry and cold and wet. Heard that lonesome whistle blow from New York City down to Mexico. Some kids born fancy free. Nobody never gave nothing to me but hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. But I'm telling you, I said you better be right, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I've walked a million miles, I bet. Tired and hungry and cold and wet. I've heard that lonesome whistle blow. Nobody never gave nothing to me but hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better be right, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I said you better be right, cause I've had my share.
Hard knocks.
I said you better be right, cause I've had my share. Hard knocks.
And we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show for January 31st, 2007. Imagine January 31st already. Our local temperature is minus 37 in the wind chill. I have 6.5 feet of snow on my front lawn. I love living here. Coming up, Michael Payne. He is a former U.S. Air Force veteran of the Vietnam War. He's a broadcaster. He's a reporter who was embedded with the troops in Iraq. And he's taking on Democrats like Arlen Specter, who are trying to block the president from sending extra troops to Iraq. And he says, Mr. Specter, what does commander-in-chief mean to you? Well, I know what it means to me, and I know what it means to most of you. But Mr. Payne, Michael Payne, will be with me here in just a minute to talk about that and to talk about Iraq and what's really going on there here on Scared Monkeys Radio.
I know, just a second, man. I'm about to lose my... Anyway, my scarf's too short. My belt's falling off. Losing my mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
be you, if you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's mind, oh, if you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego, I believe it'd be a surprise to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. There's a walk a mile in my shoes. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse. There's a walk a mile in my shoes. Now, if we spend the day throwing stones at one another, cause I don't think I'll wear my hair same way you do. Oh, well, I may be common people, but I'm your brother. And when you strike out to try to hurt me, it's a hurting you. Lord, have mercy.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey. Walk a mile in my shoes. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Now there are people on reservation and out in the ghetto, and brother there, before the grace of God, oh, you and I, if I only had the wings of a little angel, don't you know I'd fly to the top of a mountain, and then I'd cry.
The States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent Britain and Italy, were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans, who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up. And their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. And I was there. I saw that. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it's the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pump billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. And now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, warmongering Americans. Now, I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on now, you, let's hear it. Does any country in the world have a plane to equal the Boeing Jumbo Jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or a woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you find men on the moon, not once but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They're right here on our streets in Toronto. Most of them, unless they're breaking Canadian.
And we're back. You know, that's as true today as it was back when Gordon Sinclair recorded it in 1973. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We're on cable in Channel 46 in Alabama, satellite W3957, and whoever and wherever you can pick us up, welcome. I remind you our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to the show, you can podcast it, you can listen to my daily commentary, whatever. An important part of today, and an important thing to me, because I come from a military background. My father was in the military. I've been a police officer now for almost 25 years, is commitment to your country. My next guest, Michael Payne, is a former Air Force veteran of the Vietnam War. He's a broadcaster, reporter who has been embedded with the troops in Iraq, and has taken on people in government like Arlen Specter and has told them, what exactly does Commander-in-Chief mean to you? I appreciate men like Michael Payne, a man of God, a man of commitment, a man who has served his country, and a man who is my guest tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for the kind words.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, and thank you for your service. What I want to get to before we get to what exactly does the term Commander-in-Chief mean to you is the mainstream media and what they've been reporting about Iraq. You and I know that schools are being built and there's a lot good going on there, but what we see and hear, and you're a media guy in the media, is negativity, 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 negativity. It's like the media wants us to lose the war and wants us to give up to the terrorists. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, our media would never have approved of us going, having gone to war.
That's true.
We were at a point that with the Twin Towers being blown up and previous terrorist events, we really didn't have any choice, and they could not stand with any credibility in front of this nation with all that was going on and come against it. But I just believe the real those who are in control, if you will, of things that are broadcast on a regular basis are just so much against what I know that you and I stand for, and that is a love of this country and a love of the values of this country and a willingness to sacrifice whatever it takes to keep our freedoms. But the quite honestly, I have witnessed part of the reason I went the first time, I am a man who believes in Christ, and I just know the Lord put it into my heart to go and embed with the troops. But during Vietnam, I was not sent to Vietnam. I want to make that clear,
right,
so there's no confusion, because those men are in a place that I wasn't, and I'm not going to claim to have been a veteran of Vietnam. But the media back in those days twisted the truth.
Right.
They were always critical of our soldiers and of the war that we were fighting over there, belittling the cause, which was to stand against communism and stand against South Vietnam being taken over by the communists, which, as we all know, they eventually have done and now control. But the left, I never could understand what was going on there, really. And why people who were born into the privilege of this country and the blessing of this country would stand against the values of it. But it continues on, and we're seeing those come to the surface again. Like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again. Here comes Jane, and she's found her niche again, it seems, in anti-war protesting. But
right.
The press and the liberals who have taken over in Congress, both the House and the Senate, would rather see, it seems, us lose this war, lose credibility throughout the world, constantly criticize this nation, such as John Kerry going to Europe and calling us a world pariah, than they would rather see us lose the war to gain power and retake the White House and sacrifice the long-term welfare of this nation and our people.
And that should make everyone ill. Let's talk a little bit more about the media before we get into government and the arrogance of the media. The media who thinks that they can say and do what they want. The broadcasters like, and I will mention his name, Keith Olbermann on MSNBC, who will insult the president. Not just talk about the president and say I disagree with his policies, but to insult and belittle the president, the commander-in-chief, who will use the Nazi salute when he's talking about broadcasters like Bill O'Reilly. And I'm asking you, sir, both as a broadcaster and as someone who has seen what's going on there, why do people in the media do such things, and is it working with the public? In Vietnam, they were able to air the war in the public the way that it made it so negative, and they're doing the same now.
Yes, and as they did during Vietnam, let me say this and say this straightforward. Congressmen like Jack Murtha, Senators Biden, Dodd, especially Ted Kennedy,
yeah,
and the list goes on of the liberals who have been so vocally anti-war since all of a sudden they've become enlightened and found out that George Bush totally tricked them and led them into a war under false pretenses, which he was getting the same information that they were given, and I believe he was honestly giving it forward. They evaluated it, and again, they probably didn't have the political or the backbone to stand against it, but decided to go with the flow. If they truly, because the resolve on that side, with John Kerry being even a veteran with all that rhetoric, it was bluster, it seems. But the thing of it is, these people and the media over the course of the last 6 months have encouraged the terrorists.
Yep.
In that if they won the White House, and not the White House, but won the Congresses and carried the majorities there, they would have us out of there within 6 months. That's what they campaigned on,
right.
And even a few of them said they instantly wanted to start withdrawing our troops. And this gave a signal to the terrorists, and if we all note, you go back and look September, October, November, leading up to the election, the IED rate of incidents went up. The kill KIA of our American soldiers, casualty rates went up.
Right.
They were led to believe, Al-Qaeda was led to believe by our press and by those liberals who have now taken over the Congress, that if they killed enough of us, that we would tuck tail and run, and they were truly celebrating. It's documented in the streets after the Democrats won the election. So they have blood of our soldiers, some of our soldiers, on their heads because they sought power before they sought the welfare of this nation.
You were there. You were embedded with the troops, and there's some things that you may not be able to talk about, and I understand that. But let's talk about troop morale somewhat. To see Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton travel over to speak with the troops, there's a small part of me that says, good, finally they've gone to see what's really going on there, but what is the ultimate reason, what is the political advantage that they're trying to use? Your thoughts, sir, on what the troop morale has been affected by this type of negativity, because the troops are hearing all the garbage that's reported too.
That's for sure, and it's just they start to wonder just how long. I think the reality of it is setting in now because they've listened to the media. I was in Iraq three times in for a month each period in the year 2004, and I just got back December 20th from a 40-day embed in Iraq and Afghanistan with our troops there, so to refresh and see what the situation is now. In the year 2004, our troops, their comments would be, I don't pay any attention to what the media says, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't bother me. I don't pay attention to it. I ignore it. But the truth is their families back home are hearing these lies, and it's a slow drip of poison into their spirits in that it brings stress into the military families. It causes some of these families to, the soldier is in Iraq fighting, and he has to reassure his wife that, or his mother or so forth, that he is okay and it's not the way the media is bringing it forth.
Right.
It has caused some of our soldiers to say, you know, this just isn't worth it. And they're not talking about the risk in Iraq. They're talking about the harassment they're taking from the media, the stress it's causing on their families, and the negativity and constant criticism of their efforts over there, because there are many good things being done there.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wears on a man, especially when his life is on the line on a regular basis.
Absolutely. Some of the good things that you saw there that we're not seeing here.
You say, speak of some of these things?
Right.
They are bringing fresh water sanitizing systems into remote villages that up until this point did not have fresh water. Some of these villages drawing their water from rather murky-looking canals. They are getting sewage treatment, and let us just say, how was it described? Sewer lines, so that the sewage has a route to be to leave each of the houses, which is a basic fundamental that many of the villages don't have. You will see some of these villages. I was in one, Husanaya, 20 miles north of Baghdad, and it's certainly not a solitary case, where they have these large ditches down the middle of the streets, which are not paved. They're dirt streets as a rule, and raw sewage will be flowing in these. So, you know, it's just so we're helping to rebuild and rebuild their infrastructure, electrical plants that were allowed to and weren't kept up in repair are being repaired. These things are slow because we are using local contractors, Iraqi contractors, so they have to be put through a bid process,
right,
and a verification process, and then verified that these are even doing the work and on a draw system, etc. And then even those contractors who are Iraqi are under threat, and not only under threat, but on occasion are murdered because they are seen to be cooperating with the Iraq government.
If you're just joining us, Michael Payne, independent reporter who has spent time in Iraq embedded with the troops, is here talking about his experiences there. Arlen Specter says that the president is exceeding his authority when he tries to boost the troop level by 21,000 in Iraq to try and quell the sectarian violence. George Bush has done everything, I believe, in his power to try and quell the sectarian violence and bring a democracy to Iraq, and I still think that he'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
The troops in Japan and Germany after World War II have been there for 50 years. All of a sudden, the Democrats think that we need to cut and run. Your thoughts and the comment, Mr. Spector, what exactly does Commander-in-Chief mean to you? Where did this all come from?
Well, the Commander-in-Chief, through the Constitution and of the Constitution, he is Commander-in-Chief of our military forces, and once we have dedicated ourselves to a war front, and then you have those who want to argue, well, we haven't declared war, or this or that, but the Congress did give their a majority vote of support and give President Bush the okay to go into Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right.
And he has the authority through the Constitution to make these decisions of which direction our military is to go. Now, there's the obvious debate about Congress, the House of Representatives, having the purse strings, et cetera, et cetera. But as we watch all that's going on right now, before George Bush spoke of sending 21,500 troops into Iraq and especially the Baghdad area to help bring order, many of the Democrats were criticizing him, saying he needed to send more troops.
Exactly.
And as soon as he said he was going to send more troops, and they saw that scenario wasn't going to work for him, then they reversed themselves, one of those being Senator Reyes. Is he in the House or in the Senate? Anyway, mm-hmm. he said he is a prime example of one who said we need to send more, and then 1 month later, after President Bush said he was going to send them, he reversed himself and said that was a ridiculous idea. Arlen Specter is a Republican, supposedly. he's from the state of Pennsylvania, and what I see going on with him here again is just a state of playing politics and trying to play tough for his constituents, when actually what he is doing is helping to send he and John Warner. I don't want to leave John Warner out. He's the
right.
Senator from the state of Virginia, which is where I'm from,
right,
and where I reside. They have both buckled to political pressure, and what is public opinion, if it would be that. But America, I do not believe, is 70% against what we have set out to do in Iraq. Mm-hmm. The papers, the newspapers, and the media, again, have swayed and even twisted poll results to suit their case. But Arlen Specter, who has a lot of tenure in the Senate, and John Warner the same, have both buckled, and this is even a worse message to the terrorists than the Democratic House, because when the president's own party starts buckling and deserting him, then the terrorists know they're not far from a victory here.
Your thoughts on, are we safer today than we were September 10th, 2001?
Are we safer today? We're more aware in certain aspects of the dangers out there. Yes, we are safer because we have dedicated resources, and we have those in our government who have realized, especially in before the last election, that there is a true danger out there. There are radicals who claim Islamists who fully intend to spread the religion of Islam throughout the world, and the their Sharia law will be the law of the world. And this would, if we read the Bible and pay attention to that, is this that religion, and is this that one world government? I can't speak to that, but I know Ahmadinejad and the Islamic World Council, who are actually the ones who control Ahmadinejad in Iran, intend for Islam to be the government of the world, the religion of the world, and they intend for the Shia sect of that religion of Islam to be the dominant sect of Islam.
Are you planning on going back?
I will be going back sometime 2-3 months from now, probably close to the 1st of May. Because I will have to, I want to go back, and this time I will purposely be more, spend more of my time around Iraqi units to be able to speak to, are they truly maturing, and are they truly taking a handle on Iraq? The reports I get truly say that they are, and my observations of them 2 months ago versus 2 years ago, they have made giant steps forward, and they are being used in the front of these operations. They are planning the operations under the guidance of or the oversight of our U.S. advisors, but that's fair enough because, just as you said you were a policeman, when you became a policeman, they didn't throw you out on the rough end of the beat first day by yourself. They put you out with a trained officer, I would hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that's the way that it should be. As a broadcaster, my last question to you, Michael, and I really appreciate you coming on tonight. As a broadcaster, where would you like or what would you like broadcasters to say? I know there has to be an independence when it comes to broadcasters, but the left-wing bias in the media today is so prevalent that it's as predictable as snow on a winter day.
Well, I will tell you, what we are responsible to do is bring the truth. We're not supposed to be on the air to twist and bring the listeners propaganda, which is what's going on throughout the world. I go to Iraq and I come back, and I'm not going to tell you that every soldier in the United States Army is elated to be in Iraq, because that's not true.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you every soldier is elated to still be in the Army, period. That's not true. Some have seen that it's not what they thought it was going to be, and they want out. They're disheartened or disappointed or disillusioned about something, or just plain or against what we're doing there. And I say thank you for your service, and it's time for you to find another career.
Yep.
But you have 75 to 80% of these men and women who are serving us in the United States Armed Forces who are totally dedicated to what they're doing. They're totally dedicated to what they're doing in Iraq. They're re-enlisting, and they're going for another stint or tour of 6 years. So obviously their morale is not low. They obviously would prefer to be home with their families and in this nation and out of the line of fire, but that's what, here's their answer to that. Sir, I'm in the Army, and this is what we do.
Yep. So. Absolutely. Michael Payne, thank you. Our time goes by so quickly. I'd like to have you on the show again sometime. God bless the troops for their service and for making us safe. And God bless you for your work with the troops and your reporting. I certainly appreciate that.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. And can I get my website?
Absolutely.
It's takeastandministries. Which is plural.org. Takeastandministries.org. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Scared Monkeys Radio. We'll be right back.
Yeah!
We will not falter, and we will not fail.
Vamos, vamos, vamos.
Wanted, dead or alive. America wants them brought to justice. That's what we want, to get them running and to find them and to hunt them down. But we're going to smoke them out. Whether we bring our enemies to justice or bring justice to our enemies, justice will be done.
Wanted, dead or alive.
But make no mistake about it.
Vamos, 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 vam
Amen to that. You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio. My name is Dana Pretzer. Special thanks to my guest tonight, Brett Weed, who is looking for his children who have been abducted to Japan, and Michael Payne on what's been going on in Iraq. We've got about 5 minutes, it looks like, by the clock on the wall here. I had to take away the 1-800 number because of costs. We're trying to look into other 1-800 numbers that might be a little bit cheaper, because we do fund this radio enterprise that we do on our own here. We do appreciate any sorts of donations that can be passed along via PayPal. It's much appreciated. But I still do accept your calls, although tonight I won't be able to do that toll-free. However, you are welcome to call. I don't keep you on the air very long, so we keep the cost short at 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. You know, I wanted to get a perspective of Iraq from obviously someone who's been there, because I am so sick of all the negativity in the mainstream media. It's just that simple. I'm so sick of it. Every time you turn on the news, they're not reporting. Sure, there's the sectarian violence. Sure, there are bombs going off and people being killed, and that's terrible. But why aren't they reporting some of the good stuff? And I thought I'd bring on Michael Payne, who has been there and is not going to sugarcoat it. He's going to tell you what he saw and what's going on. And I like his challenge to some of these government folks like Arnold Spector. What exactly does Commander-in-Chief mean to you? That's the President of the United States, Commander-in-Chief. And Arnold Spector and those that are trying to block the troop surge or the troop boost, the 21,500 troops into Iraq, we can't cut and run. The U.S. military can't cut and run. They have to finish this. They have to do what's right. Cutting and running isn't right because the Iraqi military is not prepared for this. 1-306-842-7884. 1-306-842-7884. I do remind you that our webpage is located at www.scaredmonkeys.com. www.scaredmonkeys.com. And for the radio side, /radio. scaredmonkeys.com/radio. And what Klaus and Red and Tom have been doing with some of my daily commentaries is putting some slides to them and putting them up on YouTube. So if you're interested in seeing those, they're posted at scaredmonkeys.com, or you can go to youtube.com. This is the new video thing. It's caught on like wildfire. YouTube.com, and search for me, Pretzer, P-R-E-T-Z-E-R, and take a look at some of those YouTube commentaries. They're fantastic. Hi, you're on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Hey, Dana, it's Red calling. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. Just, you know, my computer crashed. You know, you heard that, I don't know, 3 days ago, whatever it is. And since I got it back, it's working, but they buggered up my sound card somehow, and I think my feed's only going out in mono tonight, and I don't know, things are all over the place, so I think I'll be up half the night fiddling with this thing. So I do apologize to any of you that were listening for stereo sound tonight and only got mono. Anyway, what's up?
The wonders of live radio.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
No, I you know, just calling on, Michael Payne with talking about Iraq.
Right.
It's a obviously the hot button topic that's out there, and it's an amazing concept that suddenly it's as simple as some people like to think, when it's probably the most complex issue that's out there. But hey, cut and run sounds good politically, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And to see Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and the others traipsing around there. Again, like I told Mike, it's one side is it's nice to see them there, just so they can actually say that they've been there to see what's going on. On the other side, what's their political motivation?
Well, what's even funnier than that, Dana, is the fact that not only was Nancy Pelosi there, but Murtha was there.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got two people that have been as outspoken as they've been, and now they decide to go. I mean,
I know.
You mean they were making all of these comments prior to ever having gone? And what a perspective you can obviously get in that you're speaking for the troops. And I mean, I know, you know, obviously it's a very difficult situation, and to hear people wanting to defund the war or cutting the legs out from underneath the troops, it's you know, our military does what our politicians tell them to do.
Right.
And for them to do this to them at this point is absolutely unbelievable, especially when it's the party who claimed our troops didn't have the body armor.
Yeah.
They weren't prepared. They weren't this. They weren't that. And now all of a sudden, they want to somehow make them not prepared to do what they... It's a fiasco, and it's all part of election 2008.
Yeah.
And it's sad in our country where no sooner does an election end with the midterms, and suddenly, you know, everyone's all of a sudden focusing on 2008, and the minute 2008 is over, it'll be 10, and then 12. It's like no one has time to actually run a country anymore. They're always running a campaign.
Yeah.
And it really gets to be rather sickening.
Absolutely. Just your thoughts before I let you go. We're almost out of time. Class has done a wonderful job with these YouTube daily commentaries. You've had a part in it, that too. What do you think? I think they're fantastic.
She does a great job. It's always something interesting, and I hear she has a good one planned for tomorrow.
You bet.
As well. But you know, Clifton does a fantastic job with that stuff. It's just amazing work, and it just goes into all the hard work that gets put forth, you know, from every angle, putting forth the writing, the audio, the, you know, now we have a visual to everything, and it's everything just coming together.
Yep, you bet. And make sure and check out scaredmonkeys.com tomorrow. Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye. That's the head monkey himself, Red. ScaredMonkeys.com is the blog. ScaredMonkeys.com/radio is the radio show. Stay tuned for my daily commentary every day of the week, Monday to Friday, and my shows weekly, or sometimes we do them twice. Thanks for listening. Good night.